MoneyWeb now on the money.
MoneyWeb now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper focus on acquiring stable income producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Chatting with Isaac Ogendahl. He's an investment strategist at Old Mutual Wealth. Isaac, morning. Appreciate your time. A great note that came out from you and your team. Rather than predictions, which is the sort of trend we see around the January period, everyone trying to predict the future, you're saying, hang on, there's some questions here. And you got five of them. You won't touch on all of them. Time is tight. The first one I do want to touch on is dollar direction. We saw a weaker US dollar in 2020. Massive stimulus should weaken it further. Of course, stimulus could boost the US economy, so it's a bit touch and go whether it's going to be weaker in 21. Of course, it is. Yeah, the world kind of perhaps likes a weaker dollar and would like to see some weakness going through the rest of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the key issues, and it also speaks to the future of commodity prices, as you spoke to with your previous guest. So yeah, and I do think you're going to have those two forces rubbing up against each other. You know, the US is printing more money or stimulating its economy more than other major countries, that will tend to put downward pressure on the dollar. But by the same token, you know, if that leads to a stronger relative U.S. Economy and then perhaps rising interest rates there, you know, that'll have the opposite effect. So I think those two forces probably pushing up against each other, and I wouldn't expect dramatic moves from the dollar in either way during the course of the year. But as things stand, the world is quite happy with the dollar being much weaker than it was a year or so ago.
Yeah, and as you say, it's weaker. We can probably quite like it if it just stays more or less where it is. The other is a bubble in stocks, particularly U.S. tech. And you make the point that the phrase "this time it's different" is very, very scary. But in truth is, valuations are at 2,000 levels, but it is different. These tech companies make profit, and truthfully, lots of profits. We've got low rates, which obviously helps into that. So that these tech counters are expensive, but perhaps they're not so much bubble expensive, because this time it's real deal in terms of 2,000, which really, my sense back then, it was a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, look, I think there probably are elements of smoke and mirrors in some parts of the market, some penny stocks, and there's a bit of that kind of retail day trading element happening. But yeah, I mean, those big companies, they are printing money hand over fist. So you know, it is very different than we saw in the late 90s. And I think the interest rate story is also very important. You know, the U.S. bond yield was 6% in 2000 when the market
of course, passed. Yeah.
And now it's around 1%. And those low interest rates do kind of change, you know, the calculation on all stocks. And I think the other thing to remember is just that even though the big tech stocks are quite expensive, I think there are other areas in the overall U.S. market that are not, and those areas will benefit from a stronger economy, as the vaccines roll out and as some of these stimulus measures start taking action. So not bearish on U.S. stocks, but I think the old lesson is just that when you have very high valuations, that tends to dampen your future returns. That's not a timing mechanism. It doesn't tell you when to get out the market. It just suggests that your longer term returns are going to be disappointing relative to something that you buy at a more attractive valuation.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's always it's the price you pay informs that profit you're going to make down the line. Quick last question. Your last one is this the year when things finally get better? I mean, we're seeing second waves in the pandemic, but we're also seeing vaccines rolling out. Locally, of course, we've got challenges around Eskom and the like. There is a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of risks out there, but we're off a low base, and there's my sense is there's certainly some merit for perhaps the cliched sort of cautious optimism for 2021.
Yeah, I think certainly in the local scene, I think we are coming off an extremely low base, not just last year, but also sort of 4 or 5 years of disappointment year after year in terms of growth, in terms of equity market performance, in terms of fiscal policy. And I think a big kind of probably underappreciated boost that we're going to get from commodity prices, you know, that's already helped, obviously, the mining shares. But if you if you think about this, the feed through to higher tax revenue for the government, you know, that it could be the first time in probably 7 or 8 years that we actually have an upside surprise on tax revenue this year. And I think that will definitely get a bit of a change the narrative on South Africa a little bit, you know, from the kind of the perennial underperformer and you know, that the only direction is down.
Yeah, yeah. That will, to your point, that will be huge. I mean, base effect and all, but just, you know, an upside effect on tax will be absolutely great. Isaac Odendaal, investment strategist, Old Mutual Wealth. Appreciate the early morning, sir. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider with license number 50483.